The Volume.
Boxing with Chris Mannix is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to bet the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook during the football season. I bet on FanDuel as often and as comfortably as I possibly can. It is America's number one sportsbook. It's easy to use. It's safe and secure. There are fast payouts in as quick as 2 hours. So many bet types. Same game parlay bets, live betting, player props, futures, and so much more. If you are new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started right now. Sign up with the promo code BOXING so they know I sent you.
This is Boxing with Chris Mannix.
Oh, somebody punch him in the face.
Anthony Joshua is a composed and ferocious finisher. Watch this.
Andy Ruiz is the heavyweight champion.
Hosted by SI's Chris Mannix.
That was my moment.
Now with interviews, analysis, and everything going on in the world of boxing.
When you have talent, you are given another chance.
Here's Chris Mannix.
All right, Eric Gomez is here, the president of Golden Boy Promotions. Ben, I would say pretty good year for Golden Boy, Eric. Let's start there, I guess. How would you characterize 2021 for Golden Boy?
Considering what we're going through, there's still some restrictions because of the pandemic. Yes, you're right. I would say it was a good year. We made the most of it. We had some very successful shows. Most of our guys won. So, the emergence of Zurdo Ramirez now, he's a major player now in the division, light heavyweight division. The emergence of Virgil, getting up to that upper echelon in his division. Obviously, Ryan, we had a little setback with Ryan. He wasn't able to fight. So considering everything, yes, we made the most of it.
You were kind of, I've said this to people before, you were kind of the tentpole for DAZN during the summertime. I mean, while Matchroom was doing more shows over in the UK, you were the ones putting on the, pretty good shows. Ortiz against Hooker was a tremendous show. Jaime Munguia, he gets back into the mix. Like, you were able to put on what I felt was pretty compelling content over the summer.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, we pride ourselves on making competitive fights. We do our best. We don't always achieve it, but we pride ourselves on making competitive fights. It's something that Oscar's instilled in us. Oscar's career. I mean, we follow him by example. He took on tough fights. And the truth is when you make those fights, when you make the good, compelling fights, the fights that are even fights, everybody wins. Even if you lose the fight, and you're in a good competitive fight, you don't lose too much.
Jojo Diaz, I don't think he lost much losing to Devin Haney earlier this month.
You're exactly right.
People don't walk away from that fight thinking, boy, I don't want to see Jojo Diaz fight again.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, Jojo gave a good account of himself. He was outmatched. Mm-hmm.
It happens.
Hand speed or whatever. Yeah, I mean, he fought a better fighter that night. But look, you're right. You're absolutely right. A prime example is this kid, Isaac Cruz, that everybody's talking about now. He gave Gervonta Davis life and death. Mm-hmm. Those are the type of fights that we pride ourselves and we try to make. We don't always achieve it, but we make a good effort.
So what would you say is kind of the state of Golden Boy going into 2022? This was the first full year you had as a company in a long time where Canelo Alvarez was not your marquee fighter. How would you assess where Golden Boy is as we head into next year?
You know what? We're at a turning point. We're at a point where all our top guys are either going to fight for a world title or they're going to fight meaningful fights. Virgil's number one in the WBC. He's also number one in the WBO. He can go either way. We can go after Errol Spence. We can go after Crawford. Ryan Garcia is going to come back now. I think that he's a fighter two away from, having a statement-type fight. The same goes with Zurdo Ramirez. I mean, this Saturday's fight, it's a final eliminator for the WBO. He wants to fight Bivol, so we're hoping to do that fight if it's possible. If not, we'll go after some of the other champions. And then you have Munguia, also number one in the WBO and also number one in the WBC. So there's some options for him as well. I feel that we're at a turning point, and I think that it can be a very, very good year for us. And that's what we're looking forward to. We're looking forward to that. We're working towards that.
Was there any, I guess, self-reflection, recalibration, whatever phrase or word you want to use about the company after Canelo left? I mean, what was kind of your sort of internal response to that, pretty seismic happening.
There was a lot of reflection. A lot of reflection. I mean, you don't just lose a fighter like that, and it's painful. It's painful. But you start thinking positively, and you start thinking, look, we did all that work. We got him to where he's at. We developed him. We know how to do that. So you start feeling good and with what you have, and you deal with what you have, and you make the best out of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it certainly changes any organization, any sports, you know, company or any sports team, when you lose your top guy, it hurts. You know, it hurts, and it's different. Look at the Bulls, Chicago Bulls. I mean, they're finally starting to come around again. Ever since they lost, you know, they lost Jordan and Pippen, mm-hmm. or all their top guys. So it happens, and it goes.
The Golden Boy Bulls, where you're going. That's what we're talking about there.
But anyway, so, you know, it's not an easy thing losing a guy like Canelo. It's not, but you do have the satisfaction that we did that. We built that. You know, we put in the time, the effort. We made the moves that we had to make to get him in position. I'm very proud. I'm very, very proud of the moves we made. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you really think about it, I mean, all those fights, they were tough to make. You know, the Cotto fights and, you know, the Chavez fights and, you know, the fights that he had the last few years with us. I mean, that was – we did that. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's too often in boxing, and you could talk to any matchmaker or, you know, promoters, too often in boxing, it's always, you know, you're looking, you get a show done, and then you look, you don't get to enjoy or to give yourself a pat in the back. COVID helped, you know, having all that time off and reflection and everything, it helped. And you realize sometimes, you know what, hey, you know what, we did a good job. We did a real good job. So and you build on it, and you just keep building on that.
What did you think about internally as, I mean, from the outside, you see kind of a feud with Canelo that ends with Canelo leaving. And then right around the same time, there were some public battles with Ryan Garcia there. When you're, as those things are happening, the outside, you kind of wonder, like, what's going on with Golden Boy and their top fighters? What are you thinking about and talking about on the inside? Is there any kind of reflection on that at all?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, it's nothing new. We have the experience. We know that. It's unfortunate in boxing that.
And it's not new, by the way. Promoters bickering with fighters.
It happens.
You just say to have it at the exact same time.
It happens. Like it happens all the time. And unfortunately, in boxing, when you do a good job, when you do a real good job, a great job with the fighter, more often than not, they tend to bite the hand that feeds them. You see it with all the top promoters. You know, it happened with Aram. You know, he lost Oscar. Lost Cotto. He lost Floyd. You know, so it happens in boxing. But, look, that's going to happen. I mean, these fighters, that's their nature to fight. People don't understand that. That's their nature to fight. So who are you? You're not special. I mean, they're going to fight with you eventually if you don't tell them yes. And unfortunately for promoters, you can't always say yes to them. You can't always say yes to them. Mm-hmm. And that's where there's always a little bit of a problem, mm-hmm. you know, because they, all of a sudden, because someone comes and tells them you're worth so much, and they come and say, you know, I'm worth so much because so-and-so told me. That's not true. We have the figures. We have everything here, you know. We're the ones that have to say no to them. Mm-hmm. And that's when it becomes a little bit of a problem because their nature is to fight.
Mm-hmm. I know there's... As we record this, there's nothing official yet, but it sounds like you're trending towards a new deal with DAZN, continuing the relationship mm-hmm. with DAZN. It sounds like you're in a good place right now mm-hmm. with DAZN, which, speaking as someone that's been sort of on the inside of it, it wasn't always the case mm-hmm. over the last 6 weeks, 6 months, whatever yeah. it may be. How would you characterize the relationship with DAZN at the moment?
It's very good. It's very good. You know, there's a learning curve on both sides. There's times where there's a difference of opinion. It happens in every business. You know, it's not always going to be smooth. But they've been great. They've been great for us. And I like to believe that we've been great for them. We've delivered for them. And Oscar's always told us, and I go back to Oscar because he really does have a lot to do with it. Oscar's always told us, as long as we put on good fights, competitive fights, you build it, they'll come. They'll come. And I think that it's nice to be recognized for putting on good competitive fights, good shows. And I think that the Zone really saw the struggles we had this year, the little that we had, and we made the most of it. And, yeah, so it's good. The relationship's very, very good. And, they have a business to run, too. They have to look out for themselves. And we have to look out for ourselves as well. And you make it work. And you find a way to meet in the middle and make it work.
I had Joe Markovsky on recently, and we talked a little bit about how DAZN intends to dip its toe into pay-per-view in 2022.
Yes.
As far as making fights goes, does that help you? Does that not make a difference? I mean, what does pay-per-view on DAZN mean for Golden Boy?
It works. It works because there's certain fighters, there's certain fighters that merit being on pay-per-view, okay? Not everybody. Pay-per-view is not for everyone, but prime example is Ryan Garcia. Jaime Munguia, potentially. It's great for them as well because it doesn't put the pressure on them when the fighters are demanding so much money. Like we talked about a little bit ago, people come all of a sudden, they say, you're worth so much with no real looking into or no real figures to look at or data, to review. So a guy like Ryan Garcia, I think that he eventually will be a pay-per-view fighter. And it's part of the culture here. Mm. It's part of the culture here in the U.S. All the big fights are on pay-per-view. You look at the UFC, what they're doing. So people, it's almost like a marketing tool in many ways as well, because people know that if there's a pay-per-view, it's got to be a good fight. Mm-hmm. It's not always a good fight, but we know that.
No,
we know
not.
Better. We know better.
Well, especially now because the saturation has become ridiculous.
It is. But if it really merits it, it's good. And, the thing with
You're right about that because, the conversations I've had around boxing with non-boxing people, take Fury Wilder, for example.
Yes.
Like, nobody complains about spending $80 on that.
Exactly.
I've yet to meet a person that said, boy, that was a waste of my money. Like, they all said, money well spent.
Exactly.
That's what pay-per-view should be for.
That's what it should be. And there's certain fights that merit that, and there's certain fighters that merit that. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's a move in the right direction for them. I think it's going to be easier now. It's going to help us. It's a tool to utilize. When a fighter gets a little too popular. Mm.
You work side by side with Oscar every day. How is he? As far as his involvement when it comes to promotions, one of the things you see from promoters, whether it's Aram or Eddie Hearn or whoever, they're usually around during fight weeks, lingering around, doing a million interviews. Oscar is still probably the most visible guy in boxing. Most people know Oscar De La Hoya more than know any other fighter. But oftentimes, from what I've seen, he comes in on Saturdays of fight days. Mm-hmm. Do you talk to him about being more available for promotional purposes? How do you approach that side of it?
The thing about Oscar, he's very involved. Mm-hmm. He talks to us every day. He's on my ass every day, checking on things, checking on fights. He comes up with fights. He's on it. The thing about Oscar is that he's also a celebrity. Mm-hmm. These other promoters, Aram, you got to come. Aram's incredible. Shit.
90
years old. He's incredible what he does and travel and at every show. And you got to commend that. You got to give credit where credit's due. But it's a little different. That's all he does. He's a promoter. Mm. Oscar has a lot on his plate. He has other businesses as well. He's in real estate. He's a TV personality.
But this is probably the most important one.
Exactly.
Would you agree?
So it's a little harder for him to just concentrate on one thing because he has so much in his plate. Mm-hmm. But he is more committed. Mm-hmm. He's more committed, and he understands the importance of being at our shows, being at our key fighters, being at these events. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be able to make all of them, but when it counts, he'll be there. Mm-hmm. He'll be there.
All right, fight fans, throw your best haymaker with a risk-free first bet from FanDuel Sportsbook. Even if your fighter gets knocked out or tapped out, new customers get up to $1,000 back if your first bet doesn't win. Just sign up with the promo code BOXING and you'll be able to bet on all the biggest boxing matches and UFC fights. FanDuel offers all your favorite bets. Choose from the money line to the method of victory to which round the fight will end and so much more. You can even parlay different fight bets together. The bigger your parlay, the bigger your potential payout becomes. My bet this coming weekend, Luis Ortiz against Charles Martin. Ortiz, the former title challenger, has only lost to Deontay Wilder. Charles Martin, he's fought pretty well since his knockout loss to Anthony Joshua, but I've got Ortiz picking up a late round stoppage against Charles Martin. Late round, Luis Ortiz knockout. FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. The app is just so easy to use, and when you win, you'll get paid in as little as just 2 hours. To place your first bet risk-free, just sign up with promo code BOXING and make every fight night mean more with the FanDuel Sportsbook app.
Let me run through a couple of your top guys real quick. Give me kind of a taste of what you're hoping to do with them in 2022, because most of these guys should be available pretty early in 2022.
Yeah.
And let's start with Ryan Garcia, who last seen in January, the biggest win of his career. He knocks out Luke Campbell, has some of the personal problems, the mental health issues, then hurts his hand. Having texted a little bit with Ryan and seen his stuff on social media, he seems to be chomping at the bit to come back. What is the plan for Ryan Garcia in the first quarter of next year?
Comeback fight. Comeback fight. He's been out for over a year. He actually wants to fight Isaac Cruz.
Do you think that's a good idea for a guy with a broken hand?
No. No, I don't think. I don't
the guy's got a head made out of steel.
I don't think so, but there's something I've also learned that, you know, sometimes fighters see something that we don't.
Mm.
And for whatever reason, I mean, he's just chomping at the bit, like you said, and he wants to fight that guy. You know, I'd rather do a softer fight.
Mm.
So right now we're going and we're talking to him about potential opponents, but he'll be back either March or April once he gets full clearance from his hand. But he's staying in shape. He's still running. He's doing certain little things here and there. We've dealt with this with other fighters. You have to make sure that it's 100% because if not, it's going to keep lingering and it'll come back. So it's a delicate thing with the hand, but from all the information that I've gathered from his team, he will be ready by March or April.
Do you feel like he's, when you talk about the physical ailments, do you feel like mentally he's in a better place than he was back in April, May?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He got the treatment that he needed. He's at a better place. He really is. And just talking to him, he's matured now. You know, you see it in him. You feel it. He was at our office like 2 weeks ago, and he came in, and just to hear him talk, it's refreshing. It's different. It's not that young little kid that we first signed. You know, it's almost like he's a little bit more mature. You know, so I'm looking for a big year. You know, I think he's gonna have a big year. He has one comeback fight, and then he wants to take on everybody.
What did you make as his promoter of Canelo's criticisms of him last month, where he said he's got to take this more seriously?
I mean, look, everybody has their own opinion. That's
Canelo's in the
opinion.
Gym with him. For 11 months, Canelo's been in the gym, so he knows
Canelo,
what's going on in that gym.
That was Canelo's opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, he's entitled to his own opinion. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I know one thing for sure. Whenever we have a fight with Ryan, I mean, he's ready to go. I mean, you know, he's 100%. We're not at the gym with him every day, so we don't see. Maybe Canelo sees something that we don't. I don't know for sure. But I know for a fact that whenever we set a fight and he signs a contract, he's in. He's ready to go. He makes weight. Never had weight issues. And he puts on a good performance. So that's what we're worried about, you know? If he signs a contract for a fight, that he delivers. You know, all the other stuff or whatever, but, you know, Canelo probably knows him a little more intimately than we do. But, I mean, he's always delivered for us.
What do you see as a pay-per-view fight for Ryan Garcia in 2022?
Gervonta Davis. Maybe Devin Haney.
I feel like if Haney won, you know, Haney fought Kambosos, won all four titles, that's probably a pay-per-view.
Yeah, of course, of course. Probably. If you won that, if you won that. But I think, look, I mean, obviously the Gervonta Davis fight would be big.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, that's the mark.
How do you
there.
Feel about you're involved in those discussions? Like, I know there were discussions last year, but everybody's talked a little bit. I don't know how serious they were, how far they got, but like, as a reporter, I can't get back on these hamster wheels of like, oh, we're going to try to make the fight. Then we don't make the fight. Then we're going to try to, like, it's just like round and round we go. We do it with every, you know, every time we have two stars in the same weight class, it feels like we always do this. I mean, how realistic do you see Davis versus Garcia in 2022 being?
It can happen. Okay. You know what? I'm going to set the record straight.
Okay.
Okay. I spoke to Leonard Albury. He reached out to me. He asked if we were interested in the fight. I said, yes, absolutely. Ryan at the time was already scheduled to fight. He was going to fight against the kid that JoJo beat, the Dominican kid.
Fortuna.
Javier Fortuna. He was already scheduled. So I told him, look, we already have a date. He's scheduled to fight. But we're open to the fight after that. Leonard said, okay, good. Understood. You know, and I told him that. I said, we already have a date for him. He's scheduled to fight, and he's going to fight Fortuna. The fight eventually didn't happen. He pulled out. But Leonard was supposed to come back to me with an offer, and he never did. So that's, you know, that happened earlier this year, I believe. It was earlier this year when he was
April, May-ish,
yeah,
when he
ran right around there.
Yeah.
But we did have the conversation. He did reach out to me. He did ask me if there was interest, and I said, absolutely, there's interest. Ryan wants, he wants to do that fight. There's interest. So let's sit down and do it. So I think that it's possible. I think that we can make the fight happen. I think that if we sit down and have a fair conversation, we can do it. And DAZN's willing to do it as well. DAZN's willing to do it. They're willing to, you know, we've had discussions with DAZN, and they've talked about, you look, we're open to doing a collaboration with Showtime or whoever they choose. We're fine with that. So there's no reason for the fight not to happen. If it doesn't happen, it won't be because of us.
All right. Virgil Ortiz, who, again, had a terrific year, established himself as a top guy with his wins over Hooker, then Kavalauskas, two kind of B-plus level guys in his division. What do you see for him in 2022? I guess beginning with who the hell is going to train him at this point?
I think they have that figured out already. They have that figured out, so it's going to be fine. I still think he's one or two fights away from being able to challenge an Errol Spence, to being able to challenge a Crawford or whoever it is, Ugas, whatever fight presents itself first. He's a fight or two away. If you really look at Virgil, I mean, we've moved Virgil pretty quickly. His last three or four fights have been really tough fights. So, you know, he's one or two fights away. But I mean, every test we've put in front of him, he's passed. I mean, I love watching the progression in Virgil Ortiz, and he's just gotten so much better. So, you know, I think that he will have some sort of significant fight this year, this new year coming up.
Jaime Munguia, I was on board with the idea of bringing Munguia along slowly at middleweight, but he's had what now, five fights at 160 pounds. It feels like 2022 is the year. I know you guys are chasing Golovkin, but, I mean, who knows what happens with Golovkin. I mean, I wouldn't be against that fight, but if that doesn't materialize, I mean, is it time to throw him in with a Demetrius Andrade? Is it time to throw him in or try to make a fight with Jamal Charlo? Although, if those two guys don't fight, I'm going to lose my mind, but that's a different conversation altogether.
Yes.
What are the plans for Munguia?
He wants Golovkin. There's no secret. We're going to try to make every effort. I mean, we'll make every effort to try to make that fight. And if it doesn't materialize, then yes, we'll look at the other two guys. We'll look at Charlo. He's number one currently in the WBC, and he's also number one in the WBO. We'll look
Andre
at Andrade.
Andre did make a good point where he's like, what are we talking about eliminators for? Like, I'll give you the fight right now.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Stop mentioning I'll fight for an eliminator. Nobody cares. Like,
no, we don't have to do that. Yeah, we don't have to do that. We don't have to do that. And he did give a good account of himself, Andre. He did. He put on
that was
a good
his
performance.
Best, yeah.
He was aggressive.
I guess the Golden Boy
fighter.
Yeah,
fighting. You know, look, Munguia's ready for any of the top guys. Yeah. He's ready.
I don't think Andre's unbeatable either. Like, you know, Munguia's gotten so much better in the last few years. His volume punching is there.
Yeah.
His chin is there. To beat Munguia, you've got
to
match that output. And that's tough to do.
That's really tough to do. You're absolutely right. And we're considering the Andre fight. We've talked about it internally. He loves the Charlo fight. You know, he would love to fight Charlo as well. So, you know, but for him, the dream, the idea for his brand, for him, for his career, is Golovkin. Mm-hmm. You can't pass that up.
There's a built-in storyline there. Remember when, you know, when he couldn't get the fight in Nevada, and then now here he is. They're fighting finally.
So we've had some preliminary talks, and we feel we could get it done. We feel that the Golovkin fight could get done. It's totally on Golovkin whether he wants it or not, but we feel that it could get done.
Last guy in your stable that I want to ask about is someone I was impressed with recently, Alexis Rocha. Really interesting guy at 147. I kind of was down on him after the loss to Rashidi Ellis, but he's bounced back with a couple of wins. He's aggressive. He's powerful. What do you see when you look at Rocha?
You know, it's funny because we talk about this a lot internally, but sometimes a loss does a fighter good.
Mm-hmm.
It does. And it's almost like he got refocused. He's training a little harder. He saw his mistakes. He's letting his hands go a little bit more. He's one of those kids, look, the sky's the limit. You know, he's going to get his shot. He's going to get his shot sooner rather than later. And it's almost like, you know, you get to a point when a kid, when you develop him, where you just have to throw him in and it's sink or swim. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about that a lot internally. And he's at that point where we're just going to have to throw him in with one of the big names or whoever it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, I mean, the kid's good. I mean, I've seen him spar with Virgil, and he gives Virgil real good sparring. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's tough, and, you know, so he's not afraid to face, you know, the big names. He's in there. He's a tough kid. You know, I think the development was a little slower for him, but that loss did him good.
Mm-hmm.
That loss did him a lot, you know, a lot better, and he's refocused, and he's grown. So, yeah, I mean, love that kid. He's a great kid.
Maurice Hooker would be a good fight for him, you think?
Believe it or
heard
not.
That. I've heard a little bit of that.
Yeah, a little bit. Believe it or not, we offered it to Hooker. Hooker wasn't ready yet.
Yeah.
We did offer it to him. That's a fight we're looking to do.
That's a very good fight for 2022 if you can make that one happen. Last thing for you. Last few cycles, Top Rank has kind of taken the lead on going after a lot of the Olympians. And they've had some success with them. I mean, Teofimo Lopez became a star out of 2016. Mm-hmm. Shakur Stevenson is a star. This past cycle, they went after and got all three of the U.S. Olympic team, and Keyshawn Davis looks like he's got some potential to be something big. What is your strategy on kind of replenishing the ranks? You've got, you know, top headlining guys right now in Ryan, Virgil, Jaime Munguia, but the next generation, how do you approach kind of adding
to notice all those names you just mentioned. You know they were not Olympians.
Oh, your guys. Oh, no, they were not Olympians.
Yeah,
correct.
They weren't. So,
but JoJo was. I mean,
JoJo was. JoJo was. I mean, there's certain guys that we look at and we go after. Not all Olympians always pan out, but they are top. You know, they're you know, some of the top fighters. I mean, if you look at all the champions, what, 80% were Olympians or whatever. So, but, you know, we really pride ourselves on looking for that diving in the rough. There is a couple guys that we're looking at that we're considering. So we'll see. We'll see if we can be able to make a deal or not. But, you know, the thing with Olympians is that all the top promoters are after him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like a race to make a deal with them, and it just raises the price, you know? And that's where, you know, we pick and choose. We pick and choose what we want to do.
Do you have, as you look at your current stable, like the guys that are fighting on the untelevised undercards right now, is there one that you're more excited about than another as you look at kind of the younger generation?
You know, look, I mean, look, like you know, the kid that's developed is Blair Cobb. You know, he's exciting.
But he's in his 30s, though, at this point. Yeah,
he's got a little bit of personality, this and that, but he's due for a big fight. You know, he's ready.
He keeps
ready.
Getting knocked down. Somebody, he's a lot of fun, man, but Blair keeps getting knocked down.
No, but we have this young kid right now that all of us are really high on. God damn it, you got me. I forgot his name.
That's tremendous.
Lightweight, lefty, Mexican kid that he ended up stopped. He stopped... God, what's his name? I'm going crazy. Oh, boy. He stopped Hector Tanahara.
Oh, well, Zepeda, of course.
Zepeda.
Yeah, Zepeda.
My mind went blank.
No, sorry, I was just talking about somebody about Zepeda today. Yeah.
Zepeda, we're really excited and high on him. That kid is so good, and, you know, he's talented. He's got a good chin. You know, the amount of punches he throws and everything. I mean, you know, he's a kid that I'm excited about this year, and I think that he could become a major player. this year.
He's all pressure all the time. Like, he's one of those guys where if you're not in the best of shape and you got some punching power, he's going to wear you down, man. He's like a better BF kind of at 135.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. And, you know, and the, it makes exciting fights.
Yeah.
You don't want to miss him because you know that he's going to be a good fight. You know, he's going to go in there and he's going to throw all the punches. He's going to make it exciting. I'm really high on him.
Down the line, not anytime soon, but down the line, Zepeda and JoJo Diaz, that's a fun fight.
Yes.
That's two guys straight
down
at
the
it.
Line. Down like, the line. Down the line. Like, JoJo's had some very tough fights. Mm-hmm. He still has a lot of fight in him. Like you said, you know, he didn't lose too much losing his last fight. You know, so we want to bring him back and, you know, get that confidence back in him. Because
do you think 135 is the right weight class for him?
No, I think he's really a 130-pounder.
I kind of agree.
I think he's really a 130-pounder, and I feel that he could still make the weight. Mm-hmm. You know, but he had to take this opportunity. And you know what? He got paid. Mm-hmm. You know, you take chances and you get paid. So he had to do what he had to do. You know, he felt. But now it's time to take care of him a little bit and bring him back and then get him another opportunity because he still wants to fight Ryan Garcia. He's still willing to fight some of the other guys out there. Those are some good fights for him.
I agree. Eric, appreciate your time, man. If you were a baseball team, you'd have, like, all the arms fresh in the bullpen ready to go in 2022. So I know it's going to be a big year. Hopefully get these guys in three times in 2022. It should be fun.
I appreciate that. And, yeah, that's the plan. You know, we want to make a statement this year. And I think all these guys, you know, we've developed them the last couple of years. And this is the year now. This is the breakout year for them, I feel. I feel we're in a very good position.
And tell Oscar to stop fighting. We're good. We're good.
Let's good.
Just promote. No more
yes,
fighting.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Appreciate
thank
it,
you,
Eric.
Chris. Thank you.